It was 1 year ago that my last remaining grandparent died. Consequently, I think Advent and Christmas Eve 2018 were a little bit of a blur for me. Reflecting upon that yesterday, it occurred to me that this blur or haziness might have been a blessing in disguise. Because it occurs to me that despite all that is right or wrong in the world, despite all that is right or wrong in my own life, Jesus will still be born on Christmas Day. No matter whether I find that perfect present or get all my shopping done, Jesus will come. I don't know about you or the to-do list that's running through your mind right now, but I find that thought very comforting. Back to my granny. Grace Ashley Glaze was her name. She lived 94 years. For 93 years and 10 months, she was in great health. As November came, she caught the flu and never recovered. Even though it was tragic how so quickly she became so sick, I'll take that deal any day of the week. We loved to visit Granny and Granddaddy when they lived in New Orleans and later in Alabama. Family visits to Granny's house were joyous times. And as you can imagine, living so far away from them, saying goodbye was rather difficult. I may have told you this before, but Granny had a little ritual of sorts whenever it was time to leave. Standing in the driveway, cars packed with suitcases, wiping tears from her eyes, Granny would hug each and every grandchild and say to her or him, "I love you, darling. I love you, darling. I love you, darling," to each and every one of us. Then she would start the circle again and say to each one of us, "You're my favorite. You're my favorite. You're my favorite." I remember as a child wondering how it was possible that every grandchild could be Granny's favorite. But I never once doubted that she meant it. When it came to her grandchildren, Granny's heart burst forth with love. That's the theme for today. Love. Over the four Sundays of Advent, we've focused on hope, then peace, then joy, and now love. But we must be clear, when we talk about Advent love, we're not talking about that hearts aflutter, googly-eyed puppy dog love. No, we're talking about deep, abiding, do the right thing even when it's the hard thing kind of love. Advent love, which is shown to us by Mary, is about saying yes when God visits you in your dreams. Even though she's scared, even though she's a young girl, even though she has 1,000 other things to do, even though she doesn't have a husband, even though she's poor, even though she doesn't know how the whole thing will turn out. When God lays out this rather remarkable plan, she says, yes. Love is why Mary did what she did. When she had so many questions, she responded with faith. And in love, she opened up herself and even her own body to be the mother of Jesus Christ. Love is why Joseph did what he did too. Back then, you may be aware that you were considered married from the moment the engagement was set. In fact, it was more of a contract with the bride's father. So after dating Mary for some time, Joseph decided he wanted to make a life with her. So he paid a visit to her father. He told him of his love for Mary, and he brought to her father and to her mother a gift to prove that he was serious about this relationship. Joseph asked Mary's parents for their blessing. And when they agreed, the marriage contract was official. It was legal. But despite the legal arrangement, they were just two kids in love, eager to get married and start a life together, maybe have some children. But before they were intimate, Scripture says, Mary gets pregnant. Who do you think broke the news to Joseph? Who spilled the beans? Was it Mary herself? I doubt it. Because once Joseph does find out that Mary was expecting, he doesn't seem to be aware of all the details that Mary knew. The way Matthew tells the story, Joseph doesn't yet know that the pregnancy was actually a gift from God. And if Mary had been the one to tell Joseph, you'd think she would have shared that part. So was it a neighbor? Was it a friend? Regardless, Joseph knew that word would get out. Nazareth was a small town. And anybody who's lived in a small town can tell you that very few secrets survive. Everybody knows everything. So there was no hiding this. Joseph's young fiance Mary was pregnant and she was starting to show. He knew he wasn't the father, and their wedding was still a few months away. What should he do? You know how people gossip. What should he do? As Joseph saw it, he had three choices. First, he could do nothing. He considered that, but then thought, you know, if I do nothing, people would assume that I had broken the sacred marriage vow to abstain from intimacy, that I had fathered this child out of wedlock, that I had offended the honor of Mary's family. If he did this, he would have to raise this child that wasn't his. Every time he looked at that child's face, he would wonder when his father was coming home, whether he might show up again, whether he still had a relationship with Mary. Or, second choice, he could divorce Mary, which was his right. But then people would know that she had committed adultery. Mary's family would be disgraced, and the entire town would be offended. And according to law, Mary could have been stoned to death. He couldn't do that. But in telling us the story, Matthew says that Joseph was a righteous man. And being a righteous man, Joseph wasn't about to have Mary killed and her family's honor ruined just because of his own reputation and his own broken heart. So I guess he chose the third option, as he saw it, to simply end the relationship quietly. Just tell people it didn't work out, that it wasn't meant to be. And you know what? They're going to think whatever they think anyway. As far as Joe was concerned, that was the righteous thing to do. But God had a fourth option in mind, and it was one I don't think Joseph had considered. Because one night, as Joseph drifts off to sleep, an angel spoke to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Joseph thought he had this whole thing figured out. He had come up with a decent plan. But here was an angel saying, "Joseph, I want you to risk it all and take Mary as your wife." And you know what? That settled it for him. He wakes up, doesn't give it a second thought, and obeys. If you ask me, the real miracle of Christmas is not that Christ was born to Mary. It's that Christ was born to Mary, and Mary said yes, and Joseph said yes. And you know what else I find fascinating? Despite his incredible faithfulness, Joseph remains a relatively minor biblical character. Yes, he's at the manger when Jesus is born, but he doesn't say anything. Was he there when the wise men show up? We don't know. He's not even mentioned. In Luke, when Joseph takes Jesus to the temple to be dedicated, again, he doesn't say anything. In fact, you can read your Bible cover to cover. You'll never read Joseph saying a single word. As I say, this is fascinating to me. And it's probably because I'm a professional talker. Yes, I do many other things during the week, but my most visible ministerial function is what I'm doing right now, preaching. So, yes, I put food on the table with my voice. So I am in awe of people like Joseph. Quiet, righteous Joseph. He doesn't have to say a single word. Because he lives out his faithfulness to God by quietly obeying what God commands him to do. I love how Pastor Brett Younger puts it. He says, "We all know prissy people who love to show off their knowledge about the Bible, but then they show no signs of loving anyone. And we also know amazing people who can't name a single book of the Bible, but they live the grace of God." Do you know what he's talking about? Joseph shows us that being filled with God's love is not about dazzling others with how eloquently you can pray or how quickly you can rattle off John 3:16. Joseph shows us that love is about being willing to do the right thing even when it's the hard thing. Joseph shows us that love is not what you say or feel, it's what you do. Love is what you do when you're angry or scared or unsure how it's all going to turn out. Quiet, unassuming Joseph shows us what love is all about. Maybe he doesn't get a single line in the entire Christmas pageant, but he shows us what love is anyway. Love is not noisy. Love does not focus on self. Love does the right thing. One Saturday morning, about 12 years ago, a bunch of volunteers showed up at church to help decorate the sanctuary. Advent was coming. We wanted the place to look nice. So Andrea gave me the task of watching our daughter Ella, who was about 3 at the time. We had a great time playing hide and seek and then running up and down the aisles of the sanctuary. I know you're not supposed to do that sort of thing, but we did it anyway. We were playing hide and seek, and I was looking for Ella, and I finally found her hiding behind the pulpit. I came and scooped her up and said, "I've got you now." And she pointed at the microphone at the pulpit and said, "I need to say something." Of course, I want to encourage my daughter that she can preach if she wants to, so I obliged. I held her up to the microphone, which had been turned off, of course. But oh, how I wish it were on. For she leaned in and said with all of her 3-year-old might, "I love you." To this day, it's one of the best sermons I've ever heard. And even though it's one of the best sermons I've ever heard, Ella, I don't know that we've gotten the message. Because the most pressing need in our world right now, I believe, is love. Love that brings peace. Love that brings justice. Love. Advent calls us to remember the love that God gives us in the incredible gift of baby Jesus Christ. Advent calls us to let God's love so fill our own hearts and so permeate our lives that we find the greatest joy in sharing that with others in desperate need to know that kind of love. And like Joseph, sometimes we don't even need words to do that. Happy Advent, church. Amen.